We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
If you don't know me, my name's Warren Gooman. I'm the pastor here at St. Martin C3, and it's great to have you all here today, and especially if you're new or if you if this is your first time here, then hey, come and get to know us. Visit us at the info desk afterwards. Come and introduce yourself to me and Claire and others that you see around the place, and we'd love to connect with you. A church that I drive past every day has a sign outside the church which says, "Jesus loves you." And I appreciate it. I think that's so true. But it got me thinking the other day. I was thinking, is that the best sign to have outside your church? Like, if you're communicating to the world out there of who Jesus is and who God is to the world, is that the most important message? And as I thought about it, I went, actually, it probably is. You know, like, the world needs to know that one of the core attributes of God is that he loves everybody in his world. And out of love, he came. Out of love, he, as we've been singing about this morning, he came and gave his life for us. John 3:16, which we'll know so well, says, "For God so loved the world." And then he brought redemption to it. 1 John 4, a scripture we're going to spend some time in today, says this. 1 John 4, verse 9. "This is how God showed his love among us." So how do we know what love looks like? This is how we know. "He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live the life that God always had for us, a life in relationship with him, through him, through Jesus. This is love. Not that we love God, that's not what it's about, but that he loved us. That's where it starts. The initiative started with God. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the 90s and early 2000s as a church, we ran the Alpha course. We actually still run the Alpha course, but back then we were running it back to back all the time. And there was a song that we sang in the Alpha course that, which I thought was a really cheesy song. You know, like, there's some of those songs, they're great songs, but you kind of go, oh, this is a bit cheesy. But it just seemed to really connect with people. And in the Alpha course, you have a lot of people that aren't necessarily Christians yet. They're still on this journey of discovering who God is. But they all love this song. It goes like this: "God loves people more than anything. More than anything, he wants them to know he'd rather die than let them go. Because God loves people more than anything." And you go, well, there's nothing wrong with that song. It's not, but it's just that it repeats again and again and again and again. But anyway, there's a very important truth in this song. And there's a very important truth in this scripture. And it's that God really does love people. He really does love the world that he created and the people that he created. And even if people don't know it yet, even if they don't respond to that, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves them. So yes, you can put a sign outside your church to say Jesus loves you, because it's very, very true. God created us to receive his love. And if you're here today and you don't know that truth, then receive that today. Be open to receiving a revelation of what that love looks like. It is so, so important that you get that. Why? Because in our DNA, we were created to be loved. We were created with deep needs in our lives to be loved, to be secure, to feel significant, to make a worthwhile contribution to the world that we live in. And we look for those things as we grow up in other people, don't we? We kind of go, hey, am I okay? Do you value me? As a teenager, it's all your friends that are important. And then you kind of get a bit older and maybe it's your friend group and your family and things like that. And you're kind of going, do you love me? Do you accept me? Do you think I'm okay? But actually, we were created to primarily receive that love from God. And until our hearts connect with that love, two things won't happen. We won't get to know God until we get to know how much He's loved us. And we won't, that need in us won't be fully satisfied. So that's why Paul prays this prayer over the Ephesian church, and it would be my prayer if you don't know this love that God has for you today. In Ephesians 3 verse 17, Paul says this, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in His love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God." That to know that God loves you and that you can respond to that love is kind of at the core of the Christian faith. That God took the initiative and went, "Hey, I really love you. Will you come into a relationship with me?" And then our response to that, that's the initiative that He took. Our response to that has to, well, can only be, "Well, if you're going to be fully committed to me, I will be fully committed to you. I will put my whole trust, I will put my life in you." Like imagine in a wedding, you know, if the groom, let's say, says to his bride, goes, "I am fully committed to you. I give my whole life to you. Like everything I have, you know, sickness and health, richer or poorer." And the bride kind of goes, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, let's see how it goes." You know, it would just be weird, right? You know, but and likewise, the appropriate response to God's love for us, the appropriate response to God giving His Son and sacrificing His Son for us, is that we'd respond to that love by giving our whole lives back to Him. And it's actually the way God created us to live. That's the gospel, kind of in a nutshell. That where we basically have to turn from living our way and live God's way, turn from our sin and live for righteousness. But it all starts with God's love, right? A revelation of how much He loved us. But He doesn't just love you. It's not just about you, okay? Contrary to what the world will tell you, it's not all about you, okay? God loves everybody. Everybody you meet this week, God loves them. And I know you're looking at thinking of some of the people you're going to meet this week and go, "Really? Yeah, really, He does," okay? Even that guy that cuts you off in traffic and all, you know, all those people. Okay. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start reading from verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." In other words, the very essence of who God is love. So if you come into a relationship with God, then it makes sense that you'll love God and love other people, right? Good. Thank you, Tim. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us." That's an interesting thought. That you only know the completeness of God's love when you love people around you. "We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar." You probably have to tell your kids that sometimes, eh? You know. "For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister." So what's the logic here that Jesus and John are reinforcing? Is that once we've received God's love, it's natural that we pass it on to others. When we've received and been filled with God's love, we have the capacity to love others. And what I want you to hear as we go through this series, because we're going to go through a series over the next few weeks called Love Your Neighbor, But what I don't want you to hear is a duty. Now, it kind of is our duty because, I suppose, because we follow God. But that shouldn't be our motivation. Our motivation is, God, you have loved me so much. You've given me so much. How can I not pass on that love to others? It should be just a natural consequence of taking that love and passing it on. It's not, you must do this, but why wouldn't you do this? This should be the outcome of your love for God. You're empowered to do it, so let's do it. Jesus also closely linked God's love for us and our love for God and loving those around us. Matthew 22, verse 34. He's in this debate with some religious leaders. And it says this, hearing that, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, one group of teachers. The Pharisees, another group of teachers, got together. One of them, an expert in the law of God, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, God has loved you. So respond to that love by loving him in return with everything that you are. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets. In other words, another way of saying it is all the instructions in the Old Testament hang on these two commandments. That's it. That's all we need to do, just love God and love others. Now, it sounds kind of simple, isn't it? But that, as we all know, that's a bit of a challenge. So what we're going to do is look at, over the next few weeks, what does it mean in this, especially to look at how we love our neighbours? But just to introduce this series, I don't want you to separate it from loving God, okay? We're not loving our neighbour because it's a good thing to do. Like, there's plenty of people in the world who will donate to good causes, volunteer for charity and all that sort of thing out of the goodness of their heart because, hey, that's what we should do in the world around us. And I'm not saying do it from that place. I'm saying do it from a place where you're in a relationship with an incredible God who loves you and loves those around you. And let others around you know of that love. Let that be your motivation. Let loving your neighbor be the result of loving God. As Jesus says, freely I've received, freely give. You've freely received God's love, now freely give it away to others. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's all wrapped up in that. 4 years ago, a group of us had a vision to start this church. And we were passionate about it. We came together and prayed about it for a number of weeks, and I appreciate those who are here that joined with us in prayer as we established this church. And God put things in our hearts at that time as to what it would look like, what our vision would be, that our vision would be a people that would be passionate about growing in Christ together. That we would be a family that's connected and supporting each other. But it was beyond that. Rather than just saying, okay, here's a group of Christians who are here to worship God, to be in his presence, to grow in him. But it was also to connect with the community that he had placed us in. Primarily that is connecting with our school community here at Hillview, and Hillview School have certainly appreciated that. But God also gave us this venue and placed us in the middle of St. Martin's for a reason. And so part of the vision that we have on our heart is that we would reach the St. Martin's community. Right? Is that what we're here for? Yeah. And, you know, it's not just to have a holy huddle here on a Sunday, but to connect and serve and to reach out into our community. And so we've got to think about, well, what does that actually look like? Let's step up as a church into what it looks like to literally love our neighborhood. And I appreciate that there are many people in this church doing an awesome job of this. So this is not a beat up session where you're going, come on guys, you're not doing this enough. Actually, I think as a church, many of us are doing great at this. Yeah, I see your love for God and how that extends into your family, into your connections, into the wider community, and even around the world, and many things that you're involved in. But let's continue to do that, because that's the life that God has called us to, and it's what God will use to bring his kingdom to the world around us. So here's a couple of challenging questions in regard to loving your neighbor. What does it look like at the moment? What does it look like for the relationships around your life? To love people around you like Jesus would. What would that look like? And then a question that's related to us as a church is, what would it look like for us as a church, St. Martin C3, to love our neighbors? To love St. Martin's. What would that look like? Now you say, well, we already do that. Yes, we do that. But what would it look like if we did more than that? So right across the road, you can actually see the units. As you'd be aware, there's been 28 units built across the road. And we've been praying about, well, they're literally our neighbours. How can we bless them? How can we welcome them to the neighbourhood? So here's the idea that some of us have come up with, and we're hoping that you'll kind of join with us in this initiative of literally loving our neighbours, our new neighbours, is we want to give gift baskets to the 28 groups of people that are in the units across the road. Do you think that's cool? And we just want to go there and say, hey, we're St. Martin C3, we're a family church, community church, right across the road from you. We want to welcome you into the neighborhood. If you want to come along to anything we do, this is what we do. But you don't have to. We're just welcoming you. We're just connecting with you. We're just relating. We're just getting to know you. And here's a gift to welcome you to St. Martin. So that's what we want to do. We think that we need around $45, $50 per gift basket that we want to put together towards that. So if you would like to contribute to that, could you come prepared to financially give into that next week? So this isn't part of our, we haven't sort of budgeted this as part of our normal giving, but if you can find a way to, maybe you want to sponsor like half a basket, like $25 or $50 for our whole gift basket, that would be fantastic. How we practically do that. We have envelopes on the back table, so if you come prepared with FPOS is probably the easiest way to do that, either check, cash or FPOS. And what we can do next Sunday is we'll make some time, or you can do it before or after the church. And on the envelope, if you just write gift baskets, we will know that that money is designated to that. Is that cool? Yeah, it's just I think we need to kind of start thinking of these initiatives and sharing ideas together as to, okay, let's do this. Let's not just talk about loving those around us. Let's actually make this practical. Let's actually talk about, what does it actually look like to love our community? What does it look like to bring the kingdom of God to the world around us in really practical ways? So every week we're actually going to share about what people are doing in the community and how we can get involved. And also over the course of the next few weeks, we also want to engage with a number of people that are involved in community initiatives and aware of what's happening in our wider community of St. Martin's. And we want to talk to you about how can we serve the wider community as a church. I know Mark and Sarah Jane, very involved in St. Martin's School, and a number of you are just involved in different areas around the community. So we want to have those conversations so that we're doing what God has called us to do. And we're led by His Spirit as we do it. Amen? Like, we don't want to just go, just be another community agency where we go, okay, well, let's just do this. We actually want to do what God's calling us to do. That'll make a real difference in our community. So that's kind of the journey that we're going on over the next few weeks. Why because God loves people more than anything. He loves you, and you have a love to pass on to others. Now, what's another practical way we can do this? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, in the Contemporary English Version, says this. First of all, I ask you to pray for everyone. Ask God to help and bless them. And tell God how thankful you are for each of them. So I've found that prayer in regard to loving people around me and in regard to reaching people around me, prayer trumps everything else. I've been to evangelism seminars, I've learned techniques on sharing your faith, all that stuff. I've done all that sort of thing over the years. You know, one of the things that I've said this consistently in the church, but it's so true, that once you get the revelation that God is consistently working in you, and he's consistently working in the world around you, all that you need to do is pray and ask God, God, where are you working? Let me just work with you. But most often we just, race through life and we're just not even giving God time to speak to us, and we're not giving ourselves time to engage with anyone else. I'm as guilty of that as anyone. I'm a very task-focused person, you know. So Jinia says, oh, can you pop into the supermarket and get this? Like, I'm thinking, okay, how can I get in and out as fast as I can, you know? And so, you know, I might, if I have walked past you in the supermarket, it's not because I'm snobbing you, okay? I'm just focused, you know? I'm hunter-gatherer mode. I've got to just get what I'm here, or maybe. But then I realize, hang on a minute. It's in our daily lives that God actually wants to use us to take a bit of time to connect with the checkout operator, to share life. And one of the ways that you can do that is to pray for them. So here's a challenge I'm going to put out. It's a challenge on me, but I'm putting out a challenge on everyone. I'm wondering if we can go through a whole week, and get this, pray for everyone you meet. Yeah, you kind of go, whoa, that's quite a few people. But I'm not saying that you drop to your knees in the middle of the supermarket. Okay. I'm not saying that. Be sensible about this. But like, you know, if you're walking through the mall or if you're dropping the kids off at school and you see someone, you just go, God bless them today. No, there's Mike Weavers. Bless Mike today. May Mike have a fantastic day. Yeah, Mike goes, yeah. Now, isn't that cool? You know, now, That's what this verse is telling us to do. There is a scriptural precedent to that. It actually says, pray for everyone. Like, why not? You know, now you might say, oh man, I can't. I'm just saying, just blend it into your life. It's not something that you're kind of, just let it be a distractive thing that you do all the time. Put your phone away and pray, you know. Yeah. Don't check Facebook, just pray for everybody. So as you're walking down the street, pray for those in your street. If you see your neighbor, just not out loud, but because that'd probably be a bit weird, but just in your mind go, Lord, I pray for my neighbor. I just pray blessing upon them. You know, may they come to know you. May they receive all that you have for them. May they know your purpose for their lives. Do you think that'd be cool? You could do that. Just constantly remind yourself, okay, I'm praying for everyone I meet this week. Now, two things are going to happen. Number one, God will bless them, which is pretty cool. And if that was all that happens, that would be exciting. But people will be blessed as you pray for them. But here's the other thing that will happen. I guarantee this will happen to you. Your heart will change. Because here's the thing that you discover in prayer is you begin to love those that you pray for. You begin to even like those that you pray for. You see them in a different light. You start to see the world around you the way God sees it. And so loving your neighbor starts with prayer in a practical way. Well, it starts with receiving that love from God and coming into a relationship with him and then passing on that love. But before you do anything, pray. Pray for your neighborhood. as you're walking through St. Martin's, or even as you're driving here to church. Actually, many of you walk or bike to church, which is cool. As you're coming here to church every Sunday, pray for the houses that you go past. Make use of that time that you're traveling around to bless and pray for this community. And next week we're going to pass out community newsletter that we distribute all around the community. Take the opportunity as you put them in the mailboxes to pray and bless those houses. And what will happen is God will give you a heart for those people. He'll give you insight and words for those people that you're praying for. Don't do it without Christ, okay? Don't do it in your own strength. Pray that God leads you to bless the world around you. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what Jesus was talking about when he said, love your neighbor. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them. But it all starts with God taking the initiative and loving us. We have the capacity to love others because God first loved us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.